This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 14. Today's guest is Layla Ramatian of Layla Fitness.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. I'm your host today, JC Preston, founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people do passion-filled work and, more importantly, giving them the resources and community to share with others. In this episode, this is a big episode actually, I talk with our guest Layla Ramatian about the path that life inevitably takes after school. Whether or not it's after high school or after college, a lot of us, especially creators, hit that point in their life where they hit a wall. They feel that what was once their meaning to their professional life is no longer an option. In fact, some would call it a quarter-life crisis. And, you know, as they're hitting that wall, they realize that they can either back up and do it again, or they have a choice to get over this wall some way or somehow. For Layla and myself, we both knew at an early age what we wanted to go to college for. I wanted to go for electrical engineering, and she wanted to go for civil. But as we went through school and found ourselves dealing with real life, we found that what we once expected wasn't really the case. So we had to make a course change. Maybe you feel that way yourself. Maybe you're starting to feel that either what you went to school for doesn't define you, that perhaps maybe you've outgrown that version of yourself. Perhaps you still see yourself interested in that world, but not at the same level. If any of those describe you, I hope Layla's story can help inspire you to get over your own wall and to start searching for those greener pastures where your work feels more like a representation of your current self. So in today's chat with Layla, we'll be discussing how early on in her life she had her sights set on working for NASA, how she eventually got in and out of NASA, and how she realized that it was time for her to move on to the next chapter in her life. So as always, enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go on to newinceptions.com/session14. If you have any questions or ideas for the show, as always, you can let us know at heyguys@newinceptions.com. Always looking for new ideas for the show, and I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. What's up, everybody? JC Preston here, and here with me today is Layla Ramatian from laylafitness.com. She's awesome, and she's recently started on her path into entrepreneurship. What's more interesting to me personally, and the reason I think she is a good fit for the show, is that she has a really interesting path to the point that she's currently at, which, believe it or not, includes living out her childhood dreams by working at NASA. That's right, you know, that NASA. You know, when I knew her in college, I was amazed in how diligent and focused she was in her schoolwork to get to where she wanted to be. Now she's changed that all and is a beach body coach here in Indy. I know that in a very short period of time, she's probably going to become very successful. So before that success happened, I wanted to get her on the show to kind of see that people start from, you know, literally having a very small following and then getting to a larger following and having all kinds of success. So Layla, welcome to the show and thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. Thanks.
Yeah, it's total pleasure. I think the first thing that people, when they see your face, is that you come across as having so much energy. I think that's the first thing that they notice. From what I remember in school, people would say, wow, she's a really interesting girl, but she's always studying.
And, you know, personally, I just figured that I knew you wanted what you wanted to get to and how you're going to get there. And so you're very studious because of that. And because obviously that's where you go to school. But I guess my first question is, what were your plans in high school and did you achieve them later on?
So my plans in high school, well, what I wanted to do in high school, I mean, being from Houston, Texas, born and raised, I think it all started with, you know, watching Apollo 13 and just being very, I think in the early, I think in middle school, I knew I wanted to be an astronaut. And then throughout high school, I pretty much was very focused on attending almost every single NASA education program event for high schoolers and competing in design settlement space competitions and stuff like that. And so I was like, say I was a nerd. I wasn't, I was into orchestra. So I was like an orc dork. And then I was into, you know, a NASA stuff. And then, you know, anything that I wanted to boost my resume to get a co-op at NASA.
Right.
So I even started looking at colleges my sophomore year, which I actually found out sophomore year, I wanted to go to Purdue. And I actually didn't think I would get in because Purdue in Texas is considered like, you know, very prestigious and Ivy League.
Yeah, that's so weird too, because like I've noticed that from a lot of the people that I went to school with, especially from the West Coast, you know, it's like, no. I mean, it besides Ball State, you know, being what it is known to a lot of Boilermakers, Purdue could be almost considered the second easiest school to get into. And it's only because if you think of what it is from our perspective was that it's an ag school. Well, you know, no diss on the future farmers of America, but it's like, if it's a farm school and we know in high school that the farmers aren't taking the hardest of the classes, then you know, you have a pretty good chance of getting in. So that was, that's our perspective here in the, state. So it's interesting to see that difference of perspective.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing, because like, you know, when I like researched, I mean, in every single thing and I did in high school is I any project I had, I focused it on NASA. Like I did a report on the on International Space Station, a report on Neil Armstrong. I mean, a report on, the Columbia shuttle incident. I mean, in fact, I actually did a project that was linked, that was for Columbia. And then, you know, unfortunately, this incident happened, you know, a week later. And so I was really involved with what NASA was doing because I was just fascinated by it. I even had a mentor who was an astronaut, too, through a family friend of ours. And so she told me, like, you know, when you go to college, you should do this and that. And I just, you know, I was like, I like branded my head, tattooed it in my forehead. Like that's what I got to do. But no, I think I was just so passionate about, I was very ambitious and I found passionate. And that is what I learned about myself is that and now today that what I have learned about myself is I only will do something unless I'm passionate about it. I wasn't interested in anything else, during those years up to college of, you know, let's say I wasn't into dating. I wasn't into liberal arts things except music. I was just, I was not the typical high school student, I guess.
Right.
And I'm not ashamed of it. You know, I like to be different. And so, yeah, that's what I did. I was just really focusing on what I could do because my biggest downside was I was not a book person. I was not good on books. I was a good, like I could talk to people. Right. I knew I could, I'm a hard worker. But to say I'm a genius, I wasn't. And so that's kind of I was always fighting against.
Right.
Those level of students who were just so smart, but I just couldn't like exam.
Yeah, I can totally identify with that. You know, and it's interesting that you say that because, you know, when I was going to school, you know, Blackford County, Hartford City, which, by the way, is the home of Kevin Ford, who was an astronaut as well. I don't know if you know the name or not.
Oh,
but
no,
yeah, we came from the same high school. But anyway, you know, I'd always kind of known that I was going to be a engineer. I just didn't know what kind until I started kind of getting into video games. And then I was like, oh yeah, I like how the, you know, I always wondered how the electronics got to, like, from the controller to the TV. It's like, okay, that someone smart has to do that. And people are constantly telling you you're smart. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, well, shoot, they seem like they get a lot of money and they do something interesting. Let's go to school for that.
Got it.
And yeah, as I get into it, kind of like, you know, you're finding out that, you know, you're spending so much time doing stuff that you don't necessarily consider yourself as, but you kind of think that that's all there is, you know, that is, if you want to get to where you're going to go, you're going to have to go through this hell.
Yes.
Right. And so for me, what I found out was that, especially when I got into grad school, when I started waking up and being aware that, okay, if something doesn't vibe with you, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. And I didn't think about that stuff until, like I said, when I was, you know, 25 or so. And it just kind of blows your mind.
Yes.
So yeah, obviously you're not at NASA, which you did eventually get to because of all the, how did you get to NASA?
Well, when I was at Purdue, being the hard worker that I was and just, you know, fighting the GPA issue and because I was on academic probation my first semester, which is when you met me.
Right.
It was my second semester at Purdue and I was on academic probation. And so to me, that was like, you know, it was just like a big downer, like very yeah. big downer. And so I pursued a lot of internships that I could do to boost my resume. Mm-hmm. And network. Mm-hmm. So I did an internship at Disney World through the college program, and then I did an internship. I did a free internship. I actually found an opportunity to do an internship with NASA in California through Sally Ride Science, mm-hmm. and something that they were doing regarding helping kids in middle school called Earth Cam, and I actually didn't even know they were hiring, didn't think that they would hire interns out of state, but I just said, you know what, I don't care. Let me just see if I can get an internship. And they were just so impressed with the fact that I applied, even though it was only meant for UC San Diego students. I applied, I contacted them, and then they said, you know what, this would be an opportunity for maybe broadening our horizon. So I created an opportunity for them to do something new in their program, which was allow students from other schools to intern. Mm-hmm. And I even said, look, I'll do it for free. You know, I'll pay for my ticket. I just really want to get the experience. And I did that internship, loved it. They actually did pay me just to pay for housing and just to help a little bit, but it was nothing more than for me to put something on my resume and get the experience. And then the next summer, I got a paid internship at Kennedy Space Center. And mm-hmm. again, it was still the whole, you know, it was, I knew that I had to always kind of go 10 steps further ahead than most students because my GPA was low.
Right.
And then I contacted people at Kennedy Space Center, just dialed them because I was just at that point, it's like, I didn't really want to do a traditional method because I was choosing a non-traditional plan of study. I was studying civil engineering.
Right. And there was something else that kind of struck me as being odd because it's just, you know, now that I think about it in retrospect, it's like, okay, civil engineering is not the thing that the launch pad is not what goes into space.
Right.
And so it's like, now that you mentioned that, it's like, how did you make that connection? I mean,
how I made that connection, honestly, was through high school because I had I was so involved in a lot of their you know, outreach programs where they did, like, you know, hypothetical competitions of settling on the moon or settling on Mars. We were talking a lot about building design, mm-hmm. and then my dad's a civil engineer, so I kind of got was exposed to engineering through my dad, who does construction. And he always told me, don't choose a major that will put you in a very specific category. You always want to broaden yourself. Mm-hmm. So
good advice, Dad.
Yeah, it was great. And he even told me, don't do civil engineering because the market's not good, which was like back in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
But I didn't even pursue civil engineering, but it was through engineering 101 at Purdue that I'll never forget it. I saw the lecture that they had on civil engineering. I looked at it and I was like, that's what I want to do. I like extreme engineering. In fact, I love the show. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. And actually, I know exactly the show that you're talking about. One of the things that I think they talked about was, which was my favorite, was how they built the Arizona Cardinals stadium.
Oh, I didn't see that
one. Yeah, and how they actually had to design it so that the field slides out into the sun. The field itself is made out of, I mean, it has real live grass on it. And so what they do is they move it from inside the stadium outside into, I think it's like the parking lot or something like that. And then they have it there during the week and then they move it back in for the game. It's like, man, I mean, that's 100-yard, you know, freaking, you know, massive. I don't know what you would call that even, that has to move with ease. I mean, it's not like it's not as simple as a large roof opening up. I mean, it's that's something to consider. So, oh yeah, I could see how that could be of interest for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And my favorite episode was the Hong Kong airport being built.
Yeah,
that was just fascinating. And that was in 97 or 98 when they were trying to finish it, and it got passed over from the British to the 100-year end of the British taking over. They were renting it, or not bar, I don't know how to explain it, but anyways, the political part of it and then also the engineering side of it and the factors was really fascinating me so much.
Yeah.
I was always thinking out of the box because that was just my personality. And having talked to my mentor, she was a chemistry major and she's been in space 3 times. And actually when I was in high school, I applied to be an astronaut just because I had the application and I applied.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I was never afraid of rejection because I was used to getting it. Mm-hmm. So it just didn't bother me. I was never afraid of it.
Used to getting rejection in high school?
Rejection, for example, my grades being bad.
Oh, yeah.
Not being honor roll. I was not a valedictorian. I was the last person on our fourth top quarter to get into the top quarter. Even that I had to mention, it's like, hey, I'm still top quarter. I'm no longer second quarter. So it was always me having to go the extra mile to kind of get to prove myself or just tell them like, hey, you guys made a mistake. I'm supposed to be here. Oh, we're so sorry about that. We completely forgot about it. So I was always used to, being overlooked because I was so close. I was always in between two areas. Like for example, Purdue academic probation to non-probation at Purdue. Mm-hmm. At high school, it was more of, you know, I was trying to get into honor roll. I got into honor roll, but I was always kind of the bottom end of the honor roll group.
Yeah. All my friends were straight A people and I was always the AB, or I was just like,
there you go. I was the AB person. There you go.
Yeah.
And then if it was a C, I was like, I'm glad I passed, moving forward. So
I didn't have, well, I can say that I never got a C. I don't recall getting one until my last semester where I had to do an independent study of physics. And then ended up getting a D in Japanese class because I was spending the time that I should have been in Japanese in the physics classroom.
Gotcha. That's awesome that you got to take Japanese in high school. Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I took 3 years of Japanese and that was fun. But yeah, I mean, there was we had a huge anime club because of it, but
we had one too. It was big,
yeah.
Real big. Yeah. But no, I think, I don't have the word for it, but I constantly had to prove myself. That's the word. I constantly had to prove myself because I was a non-traditional student. And then at Purdue, the same thing. I remember seeing there were two astronauts that were civil engineers. I was like, okay, that's good enough for me. I don't want to be an aerospace engineer because I think the biggest thing that I wanted to avoid in college was being around competition. So that was what would kill my drive, was being around people who are very competitive and negative and just kind of like want to just use you and, you know, for their own gain. And I saw that in other fields, but with civil engineering, I felt really comfortable because no one was after NASA. It was just me. So I didn't have to like, I wasn't worried about people trying to compete with me. It was just me trying to get into the program. And not feeling that I had to lie to a student saying, hey, did you get in? What did you get? What was your score? Did you talk to so-and-so person? And it was just that vibe of negativity. So I tried to avoid it as much as I could, but I just really liked the field of civil engineering because I felt very comfortable not worrying about putting myself in a big hole and where I would not be able to, if I wanted to change directions, I could.
Right. Yeah. And even my roommate was a civil engineer as well. And just all the different focuses that you guys had over there was always just kind of like, whoa, because in electrical engineering, you know, we had electrical and we had a computer and you were one or the other. And the computer people had to know a lot more code and a lot more understanding of, you know, specifically how, you know, the computer worked versus the electrical, which was more focused on, you know, more of code and, you know, built, you know, construction and, you know, and transmission and all this sort of stuff. And, I was always so fascinated. It's like, I know how many different classes that we had for one or the other. I could only imagine what it was like over in civil engineering where everybody had to take blah, 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 blah. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But,
and I don't mean to bash other majors. I just think that maybe my direction was I think I was always used to being in an uncomfortable or non-traditional setting. And I would say that it was the best thing I ever did. I don't regret it. Even the advisors were saying, are you sure you don't want to do aerospace or mechanical engineering? I said, no, I don't want to. And also I didn't have the GPA to get in too, but that wasn't the factor. It was just the fact that I didn't feel that I could, that I was that type of person or that.
One of those flyboys, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, and then I did 5 attempts to get to NASA and I finally got into the co-op program. And I ended up finding out that I ended up going to Kennedy Space Center and they had a civil engineering group there. And my mentor, who was a civil engineer, her name was Yvette Aponte, and she was my mentor. And she says, I want to be an astronaut too. And she was a civil engineer major. She was working at NASA, did the co-op. It was very inspirational to me, extremely inspirational to me, because I was telling her how much negativity I had to fight to say, I want to be a civil engineer. I want to work at NASA at the same time. Like, why can I not do that? Oh, because no one's ever done it before. And that's why no one's ever worked at NASA who's a civil engineer and goes to Purdue and does a co-op. No one.
Right.
And,
but doesn't it ever make sense to anybody that if you are ever to go somewhere, you might, you know, decide to colonize it. And eventually that stuff has to be thought of as well.
Exactly.
You know.
And now they use, and now my picture is still on their billboard for their career opportunities at the civil engineering building. I should charge royalties for that.
Right?
I'm me standing right in front of the shuttle orbiter. So I'm like, well, I'm really glad that I would say in the nice words, but I can't think of it. I'm glad I proved you guys wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really loved that department, and it was a very welcoming, warm department in civil engineering, because it took me 3 years to get into engineering school, actually, from the time I started to the time I got in. So I guess you probably want to know how I changed directions.
Yeah, because that's actually what is where I was starting to lead before we started talking about that. And it's like, you had all that time, you had all that, kind of like me, it's like you spent all that time trying to get that one degree.
Yeah.
And then it's like, nope, I'm good.
And yeah.
So for me, you know, I kind of have my own story on why I did that, but I kind of want to be interested about how you got from living it up in so-called NASA, or so-called living it up in NASA.
Yeah.
And then you said you went off to Oregon, and then now you're in Indy. And it's like, what?
Yeah, well, I went from Florida to Oregon to Houston to New York City and then to India.
But
wow. I know, I did like north, south, east, west, northeast, northwest. So much fun. I'm very grateful. I'm very lucky to have had these opportunities. So yes, when I was at Kennedy Space Center and I was co-oping, I had my mentor Yvette, and then I did rotations within the program, and I had other mentors who were absolutely amazing mentors, like the smartest people I've ever met today, still today. I'm so proud and grateful that I had the opportunity to work with them. And I'll never forget this. One of my mentors, Rob Mueller, he said, these are the best years at NASA. We're finally going back to the moon. This is amazing. Then a couple months later, Constellation gets canceled, which is the program that is to go back to the moon. Mm. So NASA didn't have, so there was a time where it was a little, they call it continuing resolution. And during that time, I was really gung-ho, and I went back to NASA. After that awesome, rotation of saying, like, this is the best time, I go back and things have changed. Mm-hmm. And I started to see this pattern. And I started, really dwelling on it. And I started praying on it. And so, and I'll never forget this. I said, where do you want me to go? Like, where am I supposed to go? I've planned everything up to this point. I've graduated. Now I'm on my final rotation. What am I supposed to do? And I think I'll never forget this. I think I just realized that I think I lost my passion now. I am starting to lose my passion because the direction that we were going for has changed. And unfortunately, due to the circumstances, if I were to want to get to that goal that I want to have, I may have to wait 20 years. Or 15 years. And that was an eye opener for me, because everything that I was working on was getting canceled. I would go to school and come back. What I was working on was just left as it was before, or it got canceled, or we don't have the budget for it. And so then I realized that I didn't want to work in that environment, in an environment where it was an uncertainty. And here I am, I'm young, I'm very energetic, and I cannot handle the pace is not the same as my pace of wanting to work fast. So I started to lose my passion. And I remember I called my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband. And I said, I don't want to work for NASA anymore. He says, why? I said, I don't know where our direction is, and I'm not happy. It's like one day we're working on something, then the next day, this is our new direction. And it was very sad and unfortunate. But at the same time, I'm not bashing NASA. NASA is a very great organization. I think where I was at that point in my life, I don't think it was synchronizing with what NASA was focusing on that time. Mm-hmm. And so I had to say, I need to find something that would meet my frequency, because I'm really going. And if I don't stop, I won't move. I'm going to get depressed. I'm going to give up on life. I noticed this pattern that while I was unhappy, I started going to my yoga studio and I was getting involved with my yoga studio. And then I started noticing that I'm looking more forward to my yoga practice than going to work. Right. And then it just started to evolve in that way. And I even told my yoga instructor, is it normal for me to look forward to yoga practice than to go to work at NASA? And he says, no, that's not normal. I think you should be a teacher. And I said, I don't know. And so I said, you know what, let me just delay this time of my life and figure out. So I went to grad school because throughout the time I was at NASA, I developed these interests, which was sustainability, photography, and social entrepreneurship, because I was very interested in helping third world countries. And so I just said, you know what, I have this opportunity to maybe pursue graduate school. And I went to graduate school and I went to Portland State University to spend more time figuring out what I wanted to do and knowing that it was still something that I knew I was really towards helping people, because that's why I wanted to work for NASA, because I wanted to help people in a technical way. And I said, let me just figure out what this new career change is. So I just kind of went with the flow and did that. And thought that maybe I should do nonprofit work. Maybe I should do some things in social entrepreneurship. And then I called my dad and I was doing my last rotation at NASA, because I did one more rotation while I was in grad school. And I said, and that's when I knew that really I think I need to find a new direction.
Right.
And that is when I told my dad about, is there any other companies that I should look at, Dad? And he said, why don't you pursue this company? And I did, and it was a sustainability internship, and I ended up getting it. And I went from a government environment to a corporate environment, and I liked it a lot. It was like so much fast paced, it was go, go, go. But to kind of summarize 2 years of that, I realized that I was not happy with the office environment. I realized that I have to work with people, which was something that I did at NASA. I loved working with people. I wasn't at my desk all the time, and here I'm at my desk all the time. And then I was at the point where, and I apologize if I'm going too slow. I'm just trying to get to the point, but I have to mention these steps to really summarize how I got there.
No, that's part of it. I understand.
Oh. Is that when I was working at that big corporation, it's an oil and gas company, very big corporation called Fluor Corporation. And it's similar to like Jacobs Engineering, Bechtel, big, massive mega projects on all different factors of, it's like the extreme engineering type of, you know, what you want to do.
Right.
Bridges, dams. And I noticed that, okay, so I was learning things about myself through these experiences. One, in NASA, I have to work somewhere where I'm passionate about. Then working for this company, I realized I have to work with people, which I'm not working with people at this time, at that time when I was in Houston. But then overall, up to 2013, I realized out of all those years that I was working, the one job that I enjoyed the most was being an RA. And that was, I was helping people, I was problem solving, and I was mentoring people.
When you say an RA, residential assistant, right?
Yeah, resident assistant at Portland State.
Okay.
And I was interested because I hosted programs, I was a leader, people looked up to me when they needed help. And so I noticed that one quality about myself. And then when I went to Houston, I got significantly unhappy and depressed about what I was doing. So I started working out again, just working out every day. And throughout work, I created a yoga program for women. And just so I could be able to get out of the office and be in the same building. And that was my outlet. That was my way of kind of feeling like a leader, or feeling part of a network of women and just, you know, just socializing. I needed to have that social aspect. And my boss got mad at me for it. I said, look, I have to do this or else I can't get the job done. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And so she understood that that's what I had to do, and ended up being a good opportunity for a lot of other women. Because again, no one had ever done anything like that, because the company didn't, was old school a little bit. They didn't really, they weren't really used to having something like that happen. So I was like, me and another lady, we joined and we created a yoga program, and we made it happen. And then forward a couple months, an opportunity came, and my boss saw that. I told her that, you know, I kind of want to work with people. I've got to work with people. And then I ended up getting the opportunity to go to New York City and work on an extreme engineering project, which was the Tappan Zee Bridge project in New York City.
Okay.
And it was absolutely amazing. I got to work with people. It was awesome. Now, between the time that I was working in Houston and working in New York City, this is where the fitness part started happening. And that was, I decided to do something different, which was around January 2014, I lost a loved one to cancer.
Yeah.
And I decided to do something to kind of get over that mourning and unhappiness, and really, again, to figure out what my purpose was, because I had, like I said, I had wanted to work for NASA for my entire life. And then at 25, I hit a quarter life crisis.
Yeah. It seems like that's happening all the time, isn't it?
Exactly. You said that too. Yeah. 25.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going a couple of years past 25, I'm still figuring out what I want to do. I'm working for this amazing company. So I said, you know what, let me do a blog. Let me do something social that I'm going to create my social bubble. Even though I have to be in this office by myself, working in front of a computer, I'm going to do something about it so I can keep myself going. And I did a 365 day project on Instagram where I posted a photo every single day for the year of 2014. And during that time, I grew a lot. It changed me. And was posting something new every day. I was getting responses. People loved my inspirational posts. People were saying, I love what you're doing. Keep doing it. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just posting a photo every day of something that intrigues me. Or what did I do today? Or what am I thinking today? And then as I was doing that, I was scrolling through my posts and the people that I was following. And my friends who I kept in touch with was my mentor, Yvette, the civil engineer at NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And she had posted a photo of herself, a before and after photo of her fitness transformation. And I never knew she was into fitness. She told me she was not into fitness or didn't feel like going to the gym. And I had a back injury before that too. So I was really, you know, sensitive to working out and doing high impact workouts. Some yoga and Pilates were the only things I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was and she had shown a before and after picture of herself doing Beachbody. And I think just to sum it all up, we started talking again. I was telling her what's going on and where am I going through right now in my life after NASA, since we did keep in touch via Facebook, but never call each other. So basically years later, she posts a before and after photo of herself and we start talking about fitness. You know, and she updates me on what's going on at NASA and how she's doing. She's loving it because things are getting better that now with a better direction. And she was telling me that she was doing this for her own health benefits. And then she decided to become a coach. And I said, okay, well, I would like to do this program, this new program that Beachbody's coming out with is called PYO, Pilates Yoga. And I said, well, I told her I had a back injury in my undergraduate. I pulled my lower psoas muscle. I can't do jumping jacks and high impact workouts. So she says, this is not like that. So I ended up just focusing on, I said, okay, let's do it. And then, so she was coaching me and we were keeping in touch. I started working out from home because I was spending so much money working out to deal with the situation of working alone, that my therapy was to constantly go work out in these different studios. And so I transitioned from that to just working out from home, and it saved me so much money. Money. The best $60 I ever spent on a 2-month program. I was spending about $700 a month working out, and I wasn't getting any results. And So that's what happened is I started working out from home. I started seeing changes. I still kept on posting. And then I started posting fitness pictures of myself. People were starting to follow me. And I was, you know, sharing my tips and tricks of what I do. And just started really learning more about fitness and health. And Yvette says, you really should be considered looking into being a coach. I said, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure. And then once I got moved to New York, I started really working out from home because that was my only extracurricular. I was just going to the construction site and I was working out from home. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, by that time, I got engaged. And so I was just working out all the time to just fit in the dress. And that was the goal. I couldn't fit in my wedding dress. And I was like, I got to fit in the dress. And so I said to myself, okay, I'm getting married. I'm in New York City. I'm on a construction site. I'm using this social media app called Instagram to interact socially with people and still keep in touch with my friends. I was narrowed down basically to this point where that was my fun time, my non-engineering time. And just started having fun, and I started making so many friends in fitness, and people started contacting me, and it was maybe my best friend who told me, Layla, you've always been into fitness. You really should start looking into being a fitness instructor and a coach. And I said, well, I got a degree in engineering. I don't know if I can do that. They're like, just make it a side hobby of yours, you know? And I showed her my before and after. She's like, I want to do what you're doing. You should be my coach. And that was like the week before I went to New York, and I started coaching her. And then I had other people that wanted me to coach them and friends of mine and help them out. And because they knew me and they knew that I wasn't a fake person that had a computer graphic rendering of an after photo, it was really true. And that's really how I got into it too, because Yvette posted her before and afters. And I was like, okay, I know her. That's not CGI. Okay, I've got to know what she's doing. And so when she shared me her knowledge, like she did at NASA, because she's such a good mentor and a friend and an inspirational person, I wanted to be like her. And then through fitness, I said, okay, I want to be like her and helping people implement a healthy lifestyle in their daily lives. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that more. I developed a couple of clienteles and just doing online, doing support groups, sharing tips and tricks, weekly talks with them. And I wasn't making a lot, but I was making a little bit that was just enough to make me happy. And I'm like, no, I don't, you know, I like it, but that's not my drive. My drive is helping people. And this is perfect. I'm helping people. I'm helping their health. I'm making friends. This is great. And it came to the point where now it's April of 2015. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now I'm faced with a very tough decision, and that is where to live. And I,
at this point, the construction job was done
yes, the construction project was ending, at the end of May. And I told them, hey, 60 days before I'm leaving, would you guys like me to stay? Would you guys like me to go back? And again, like NASA, the company went through a massive reorg. Mm-hmm. And I had just said, okay. So now what I was working on in Houston probably got canceled too, you know, and I spent 2 years of it, my heart and sweat into something, working in that desk by myself. And I said, I don't know yet. I still don't know to this day if this thing is still running, but it was something that I called it my baby, you know, it was a sustainability carbon footprint software. Mm-hmm. that measured greenhouse gases. And it was for the company. But anyways, so the company went through a massive reorg. And I said, well, does that mean I can go back to Houston if you guys don't want to hire me? And they said, unfortunately, we laid off a lot of people. And so we don't have a return for you to go back to Houston. And I said, okay, that's fine. I don't. Fine, I don't want to live there
anyway. I don't need you anyway.
I don't want to live there anyway. That's fine. It's too hot. Damn it. Dang it. And I just got so tired of just being dragged and, you know, from this company to that company. And so it was either New York City or bus to Indy. And, I was going to live in, my fiance, said, okay, I'll go wherever you are. I want you to be happy. And he had a concern about New York City because of cost of living. And
right.
Anyway, summarizing that, it came to the point where I was, there was one weekend that was the most pivotal weekend. It was mid-May. It was early May of 2015. And I went, spent the entire weekend looking at two locations where my husband could work, transfer from Lilly to the Lilly office in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I would still work on the project in Tappan Zee. Granted, that's South Jersey and I'm working North Manhattan. And so either we would live in Soho, Manhattan, or Hoboken, New Jersey, where Sinatra was born and Kate Boss, you know, the show is there.
Right.
And during that time, I was really trying to figure out where, you know, God wanted me to be and where my direction was. And it was a sign. I said, please give me a sign. Like you did at NASA, give me a sign. Where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to go? I say that because I really do believe in the thing that was really important to, cause that was a big factor. Cause I didn't want to do anything and regretted it. That was the one thing that I never want to do is wherever I leave, I want to leave it in peace and mm-hmm. leave it in, gratitude that's a chapter in my life that I can close, but I don't ever have to look at it and say, oh, I can't believe I closed that door. I want to go back. No, I closed it. I managed to make a good decision and I didn't burn any bridges. And so when I was there during that weekend, I was, you know, about to sign a lease in Hoboken, New Jersey. And I was gonna, I said, okay, I'll pay the $3,000 a month. He will come here. My fiance will come here and we'll do all this. And I was in the realtor's office and I was talking to the secretary and pretty much told her flat out that I don't know if this is the right decision for me. I don't know if I can do this. I can't, we cannot drive 6 hours a day. That's an hour and a half for me going up and down for him going south and back. Total wow. 6 hours.
Wow.
And that's, we calculated it. It was like 7 hours a day, 6 hours a day, $7,000 a month just to live. And basically the secretary said, yeah, the secretary said, like, you really want to do this? And I said, I don't know. Maybe I think I should do this because this is a lot. And she said to me, and she asked me this very important question. And that was, do you plan on having kids here? And how long do you plan on staying here? And I said, 2 years. And she says, you know, you're going to be spending about $80,000 in rent. Mm. If I were you, I would get the heck out of here. And I said, why would you say that? She said, what's the big deal? It's just buildings. It's just big, tall buildings and expensive real estate, you know? And I was like, and I never saw it that way. I said, yeah. And I told her like the opportunity to live in Indianapolis because my husband works there and this is how much rent is. She says, rent is that much? I think you have your sign. You need to go to Indianapolis. I mean, that's pretty much what she says. There's a voice inside of you that you're ignoring. Do it. And I ripped up the lease and I called my fiance. I said, I'm moving to Indianapolis. And he couldn't believe it that I said that because I was so, no Indianapolis. So we did that. And then I called Yvette because Yvette was wondering because she saw my posts on Instagram. I was posting like things about I'm looking for a sign. I need a direction, you know, listen to that little voice inside of you. Because she knew that she could tell by my posts that I was not happy, even though I wasn't saying anything negative. She's like, I can tell that you start trying to figure out because I was saying like, we're trying to figure out where we're going to live and hopefully we'll figure it out soon. And she called me and said, what's going on? And she had just finished training for her beach, for the beach body training. She did more training on how to be a better leader and inspirational person. Mm-hmm. And I just broke down on the phone and I said to her, I have to quit my job. I have never had to do that, but I'm going to have to quit it because I've been given the sign. And, I really feel that big voice, that tiny little voice inside of me is saying to quit. And she says, how do you feel by doing that? And I said, I feel so relieved. I think I really think that while I'm unemployed, that I should pursue lifestyle coaching. Mm-hmm. And help people in health and fitness. And she was amazed by that. And, you know, I was crying, I was bawling, and it was a sigh of relief, which was the same sigh of relief that I got when I left NASA, when my mentor told me that, you know, you should leave NASA and pursue better things. And this was like another big sigh of relief where I felt like I have a direction. I have it right in front of me that I need to have a lifestyle change, a profession change, to be happy, because I can't travel like I did before. I mean, JC, when I was in Purdue, I was living in three states for 3 years. And I still have been doing that. So for 10 years, I've been living out of a backpack.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Pursuing this dream of being an engineer, being this NASA astronaut. But I think I had to take a step back, and that was the first time I ever did it, was to take a step back, do something that I like to do, and then see where I'm at and see where it goes versus just running. Because I was constantly like mentally running. And so that's where I am today. So from May till now, I've been just working on myself, personal development, helping people. And now that I'm married, and it's been about 5 months that I've been married, it's been so nice, because we were in a long distance relationship for 5 years. So
wow,
it's 5 year long distance relationship.
And you were where, and he was where?
He was in Indiana, and I was all over the country.
Wow. And so did you meet him at Purdue then, or?
Yes, me and him met at Purdue. Okay. We met at Purdue in 2009.
Okay.
And I met him 2 weeks before I went on my co-op at NASA. And we kept in touch, and it's been awesome. You know, he's my best friend and he's a keeper, you know.
Well, that's, you know, you just don't hear about that. I mean, as long distance as relationships usually don't work out so well, and that's good that you guys were able to build that friendship beforehand. So
yeah
that's cool.
Exactly.
So you've been working on yourself and looking to build at least your coaching practice as of right now and other stuff, but what are your other goals for the future, if anything?
Well, my goals in the future is, I just got certified to teach PIO, which was the program I started off in Beachbody. So my short-term goal is to really get myself established in health and fitness and really start learning how to teach and teach group fitness. Mm-hmm. And to continue doing and build on my tribe, my team.
Right.
And my mantra is be the change that you wish to see. So to kind of build on my mantra with the people that I'm coaching and helping them and feel nourished, my long-term goal is to still be an engineer doing this, and to get my professional engineering license. So I will still try to pursue that, and still try and see if that's the direction I am meant to be. Cause I feel like there's one more thing I have to do to know if I really am meant to be an engineer, and that is to get my license. Mm-hmm. And someone told me this at NASA and at the engineering corporation I was at. You want to get in the club. Get in the club and see if that's where you want to be. Because right now you're not in the club. You're not an engineer legally yet. So how will you know if you really are meant to be an engineer if you're not in the club? Mm-hmm. And get in knowing what it's like to be an engineer, to say that you can put a stamp on something, or to say that you are in the networks.
That's a good point. Well, I was just thinking that, you know, as far as your civil engineer types, yeah, being a, what is it, an FE and a PE?
Yeah.
Are two huge things that you guys definitely want to, because electrical engineering, unless you're going into, again, building construction or doing that sort of stuff, it's not a big deal. But as far as you guys, yeah, I mean, I can see why that, where he's coming from. So yeah, it's.
Exactly. And I think that's a personal thing, a goal, because it took me 3 times to take the FE. Mm-hmm. Like I said, testing was not my good thing, but I passed it. And that was something that I wanted to do for myself, but also to my dad, because my dad never told me this. He's like, I never could be in where you are today. You proved me wrong at Purdue. I never thought you could make it, because I knew I personally could never make it. He said, I never took the FE because I wasn't a good test taker. And having 30 years of experience as a civil engineer, where I can't call myself a civil engineer, it's so important to be a PE, because I if I had it, I knew I could go this much further. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to do it for myself, but I really want to do it for my dad. Especially as he has been such a good, you know, father in my life. And I wanted to do it for my, I want to do it for myself and my dad, because, that makes me happy.
Well, got 3 rapid fire questions for you that we always end. So 3 things that you'd want people to remember you by after listening to you on the podcast.
I think, what are the 3 things that people want to remember me by?
Mm-hmm.
I won't do anything unless I'm passionate about it. I'm a person who is an engineer, but loves to help people incorporate fitness in their daily lives. And I love helping people. I love helping people, especially in health and fitness. So I don't know if that answers all 3 of those topics.
That works. That works. And who are your, who would you consider your 3 favorite teachers or experts in your field or in your interests? Or,
well, I would say I call them my lifers. Mm-hmm. Is the word. Who are my lifers? My definite lifer is Yvette Aponte, a NASA mentor, who is my mentor in our business and in our fitness business together. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we're doing it together. And my lifers is my husband, who has been my emotional support and helping me support me finding what I want to do and where I'm meant to be, basically. You know, where God wants me to be, where am I supposed to go? So that my husband has been such a great supporter. And here's my 3rd one. I would say my dad, who is that supporter, my mom and dad, I would say my parents, who have been my emotion, been my parents and mentors through all this.
Okay. And the last question is, what does success mean to you?
Success means to me that going to bed and waking up, and you feel like you have lived everything that you don't wish for anything else, basically. That when you wake up or when you go to bed, you are so content that you don't wish for anything else or more than what you have achieved at this point in your life.
Cool. So before we say goodbye, where can people find you? How's the best way of getting in contact with you?
Well, I guess the best way to have people get in contact me is through my Instagram, and also my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
They're all interlinked. It's Layla Fitness, which is facebook.com/Layla Fitness. And my Instagram is Layla Ollier, Layla.Ollier.
How do you spell that?
It's LAILA.ALIEH. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Well, definitely appreciate you coming on the show, and look forward to the success that you'll definitely have.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
So there it is. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Layla. Again, you can get in touch with her by visiting her Facebook and Instagram pages. I'll make sure to have those in the show notes. Again, you can find those at newinceptions.com/session14. Remember, as always, if you'd like to subscribe for free to this podcast, you can do so via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Further instructions on how to do that are in the show notes. In this week's show, note extras. I have some elements that I think you'll enjoy if you're into traveling or an engineer. Layla has mentioned to me that she sees herself as a traveler, so I'm sharing a site that I recently ran across after Session 8's Cam Adair was featured on their podcast there. If you're thinking about living the life of a traveler as a lifestyle, it might be a great resource for you in doing just that. The other links that I'm sharing are two videos that I believe that many engineers will be able to relate to. First one is from my alma mater, Purdue. I figured since Layla and I were both engineers there, you guys could get a glimpse of some of that life. The other video I'm posting is one I think engineering girls and guys alike will enjoy. It's a video that portrays what it's like to be a female engineering student and how she categorizes guys. If you're an engineering guy, try to identify which one you were or are still, and maybe it'll serve as a hint on what you can do better. If you identify with one of them and you're struggling to figure out how you can improve, my office door is always open. I'd love to chat about it because I struggled myself for numerous years, and you can get in touch with me via Facebook or just shoot me an email at jc@newinceptions.com. I also want to thank today's sponsor, which is 99designs.com. For anybody out there who's doing any sort of design work who cannot afford your own special designer that works for you and does all that stuff just for you, I would recommend going to 99designs.com just because you can get a lot of great value at a very, very good price. And also a quick turnaround. Within 7 days, you can get multiple different designs related to your need, and you can get to pick the one that you like the best. Personally, I've used it a couple of times myself for AMS, and I know that Pat Flynn and Tim Ferriss use it as well. If you go to newinceptions.com/99designs, you'll get access to a random bonus that will display at the top of the site when you land on their front page. Sometimes it's a power pack of services, other times it might be a discount. You can then use that on your next design project on anything like more designs, more exposure, contests, and things like that. Again, that's newinceptions.com/99designs. And of course, there's fizzle.co. If you want to do great work and make a dent in the universe with an online business, this is your place. Honest training and a genuine community for a lifestyle business builders like you and I. You can learn what you need just in time instead of constantly consuming content from across the web. Typically, it costs $35 a month, but as a listener, you can go to newinceptions.com/fizzle, and you'll get a free month of membership to this awesome resource. Again, that's newinceptions.com/fizzle. Thank you so much for listening in today. We really appreciate it. Next week's conversation is really cool. It's going to be with a good friend of Layla, who, in fact, Layla said I had to have on the show. Jeanette Ellis is her name, and she's going to be dropping her first book on 29th of December. The book itself is about the Founding Fathers through the lens of the law, and she's a constitutional lawyer, the background in journalism, and so on top of it being well-written, it'll be authentic, as she has a ton of interest in that topic. If you've ever wondered what it might take to get a book into Barnes & Noble, especially first one, and a look into the mindset that it goes into writing a book, this is probably going to be a session you don't want to miss. So make sure to subscribe to the show. And if you subscribe through iTunes, we'd love it if you just give it us a review. It means a lot and will help other people find the show in the future. So thanks for that in advance. So until next time, the show notes are over at newinceptions.com/session14. Feel free to head on over there and give any comments you might have and also ask any questions you'd want Layla to answer. I'll make sure she sees them. As always, thank you guys so much, and I look forward to serving you in the next episode. Cheers, take care, and thanks again, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.